Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show, and I am your host, Elliot Pierre. And we're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Noral Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As you know, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
I'm David Yeager, my current advisor, my current position is special advisor of the Premier on Energy Files. I've been in the oil patch for longer than most of the people watching have been alive, and I work for the Premier on helping her execute her agenda to double Alberta's oil production in the nearest future possible.
All right, so you have some interesting ideas on how to do that when you're up there. So let's talk about how you're going to double the oil production.
Well, the reserves in the ground are just staggering. We've just updated the reserves for the first time in almost 20 years, actually. We got, as I say, the shift has been, a lot of the time spent in the century has been worrying about emissions, pipeline blockades, going out of the oil business. We always knew Alberta had a lot of oil and gas, but the Premier, because of her mandate and her goals, want to have another look. So we updated the reserve reports, and we discovered that even though we produced 11 billion barrels of oil from the oil sands in the past 11 years, the reserves are actually up to $167 billion, which is materially more than the state of Texas. We've had a look at the natural gas reserves, and the Alberta portion of the Montney is up to something like 225 trillion cubic feet. These are mind-boggling big numbers. It would meet Canada's oil demand for hundreds of years. So the old joke back in the OPEC days, Sheikh Yamani, Secretary General of OPEC from Saudi Arabia, and he said that the Stone Age didn't end because the world ran out of stones. The oil age won't end because the world ran out of oil. And the last barrel of oil ever burned anywhere on the planet could very well be in Alberta.
And so you're from Alberta, are you?
Well, I was born in Calgary, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where do you call home?
Calgary.
Yeah, Calgary boy.
Not all my life. I did spend some time in Edmonton.
Okay.
But I've been in the oil service business. Every town in Alberta that's got a pump jack nearby, I've been there.
Nice.
My last company, we had substantial operations in Fort McMurray. At places like always OptiNex, and back then now it's CNOOC. We were on the ground early with CNRL Horizon. And yeah, absolutely. Suncor, Fort Hills, you know it, we were there.
So what got you into oil sands back in the day?
Well, my last career was industrial health and safety.
Okay.
Yeah, so we HSC integrated. I'm sure we still have an operation there. I founded that company.
And that founded HSC?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's
I founded
huge,
that guy. Yeah, I founded that company in. Let me get the years right. In 2004.
Okay.
And then what we wanted to do, we grew up with the oil sands. We were there in the early days. Drove around the Horizon site when it was just packed clay.
Yeah.
And like I say, on OptiNex Center, now CNOOC. Long Lake was just under construction.
Right.
Yeah, again, we were at Suncor Firebag from the get-go.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had spent a lot of time for it. We're a great place, and great people, great place to do business.
That's awesome, man. So in all of these years that you've been in oil, what are some of the changes that you've
seen? Oh, everything.
I can hear it, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. I mean, we went from when I started on the rigs in the 1970s to drill a 5,000-meter well. It was 90 days if things went well. It was a year if things went poorly. And now with modern technology and mud motors, we're punching down 6,000 meters of wellbore in 10 days without incident. And so the drilling techniques have changed. The hydraulic fracturing we use now didn't exist. The coil tubing we use now was in its infancy. That's just the mechanical stuff on wellbores. The Montney, that we produce natural gas from today, would not yield hydrocarbons. Nobody knew how. SAGD was in the early stages. I was out to Esso Coal Lake in 1975 when it was just a pilot project. I mean, you have to remember, it took 50 years to turn Esso Coal Lake into money. It took, original Great Canadian Oil Sands opened in 1967. Syncrude, I think, is 76. We've been at this for a while, so in my lifetime, for example, oil sands has gone from what the heck is that to the largest source of income for the province, the country, and the treasury. Enormous change. And on a personal level, we used to be six guys to a room in a camp, and now everybody gets their own room. Little personal things have improved tremendously.
Dude, speaking about camp, like, I used to be HR for Clean Harbors.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
So I'd put guys in rig camps all the time.
Yeah.
Then I became the HR manager for Acura.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, all these NDT inspectors and remote access techs were staying at, like, the executive lodge.
And complaining
a little bit. I don't know if our accommodations are good. And I used to be like, boys, I'm about to take you to a rig camp, and you'll learn pretty quick that executive lodging dramatically nicer.
When I worked in the High Arctic Islands, the rigs were helicopter transportable.
Okay.
And that's where it was six guys to a room.
Yeah.
On a truck-mounted skid trailer, it was three people to a room. And then again, it's sort of modernized now, where one's got a little privacy. You ever do the hot beds?
Yes.
Yeah, the hot swap.
Yeah. Yep. Unfortunately, I have.
Yeah, regrettably. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is interesting in regards to that component of the oil sands. I think today we're here, people are dressed in suits, they look nice, but there is a component of, like, you got to get your hands dirty, you got to get in the industry to be a part of the industry.
Yeah, well, that's why I cut my teeth and my choke in the middle of the night, in the middle of winter, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And cold, drunk, and lonely.
Yeah.
Hungover and lonely, not supposed to be drunk. But anyway, yeah, it's changed tremendously. I think another advancement that we take for granted today is the safety practices have finally caught up. You know, back in the day, it was, injuries were high. There wasn't the attention paid to safety. I think possibly one of the greatest things the industry did in 1988 with the Upstream Petroleum Industry Task Force on Safety is we made safety a common goal among producers and contractors and everyone. And when I was in the industrial health and safety business with HSC, we ran the stats. When we expanded across Canada, we went to mining in Sudbury, we went to refineries in Sarnia, we went to pulp and paper mills in New Brunswick. And we've always got a bit of an inferiority complex about the oil patch. And so we thought, well, these guys will know auto plants. We work in auto plants in Windsor and in Oshawa. And I said, well, these people will know all about safety. And when we showed up with our green coveralls and our way of doing things, we discover we exceeded every standard and expectation of what to expect from a third-party industrial safety contractor at all levels. Equipment, training, personnel, attitude, safety record, planning. We're best in class. So that was just a made in Alberta thing that everybody needs, and I'd be darned if we didn't get so good at it that we were the best in Canada when we got to the rest of Canada. It was real eye-opening.
It is a real eye-opening.
Yeah, it's great. We can all be proud of that.
Yeah, safety is a huge part of the culture. And like, I grew up in Fort McMurray, my parents' family, they're related to oil and gas. Like,
yeah.
Big shout out.
But
it wasn't always so safe.
Well, I'm a bit of an antique. And too many of my friends are missing some body parts from the rake. So.
Yeah, I got very comfortable shaking hands, missing some digits.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
The one thing before I cut you loose, because everybody got excited when you said it, I felt the room's energy. You talked about cryptocurrency and in a room like this with some of the younger people.
Well, Bitcoin mining, there's no question that there's a lot of the using stranded gas and using to generate electricity.
Yeah.
The problem is again, why can't we do more of this? We've got all kinds of shut-in gas wells that aren't necessarily economic that we could do things with. The problem is the big utilities, the connections, the Fortis, the ATCO, and all these guys, they're not really set up for that.
Right.
So we have within the mature asset strategy, we have a separate working group that is looking at how do we encourage small-scale power generation for whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
If you want to mine Bitcoin, we don't care.
Yeah.
You want to run data centers, it's what you use the electricity for.
Right.
Right.
But a lot of them have to be on the grid, or what I learned in when I went to the Bitcoin conference last year is actually they're connected to the grid and they can act as backup to the times when the grid fails.
100%.
But again, we're we're a big utility market, and so part of the mature asset strategy is to be more nimble with what we do with these mature assets. So I've met finally, there's a new chairman of ASO, the regulator, and he knows what's coming. And we had the Alberta Utilities Commission and the mature asset strategies at the tail end. So we are showing the electricity distributors and the electricity marketers the opportunity that's available from small-scale power generation and making sure that they are not an obstacle. So what are the financial, regulatory, what are the issues? And again, that's one of the things we did in the mature asset strategy is we looked at all these opportunities and really peeled back the onion. Not what, we're really good at what, the question is how.
Very cool. Well, my dude, I know you gotta go, so we're gonna cut you.
Got a motor rotor.
That being said, before I let you go, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Thank you very much. And I asked for nothing. I love Fort McMurray. I can hardly wait to get back there.
There we go. Awesome. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world. That's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. I hope you're having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Good job, man. You nailed that.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.